everyone. I'd like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 415. If Kyle is here, Kyle, could you refresh us on this and speak to the dash four amendment, please?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We have Senate Bill 415, and I think we don't remember, this was first heard on the 7th of April. So I'll just give a very brief refresher on the introduction and talk about the contrast with what we have at the dash four amendments. Mm-hmm. But Senate Bill 415, if you'll remember, was placing a prohibition on flavored tobacco products. And there is already a federal ban on flavored cigarettes outside of tobacco flavored and menthol. So the prohibition would apply to flavored tobacco products other than cigarettes. And there were two flavors that would be excluded from the prohibition. It was tobacco flavoring and then menthol. And then there's also the second part of the bill had OHA to impose civil penalties. So the dash four amendments changes the applicability of the prohibition on selling or allowing to be sold flavored tobacco products. It prohibits the sale of tobacco products not intended for combustion with distinguishable tastes or aromas other than tobacco, menthol, mint, or wintergreen. So by changing the definition of it on the prohibition to non-combustible, it wouldn't affect combustible tobacco products such as shisha, or if that's the hookah tobacco, cigars, roll your own, or pipe tobacco, because those are intended to be smoked. But it would still affect moist snuff, dry snuff, chewing tobacco, snus, and dissolvables are examples of products that would be affected. However, it does, the dash four will allow the flavorings of tobacco, menthol, mint, and wintergreen. So looking at over the past decade, the literature would suggest for tobacco products that are non-combustible, so the moist snuff and the dry snuff and so on, it's ranged for the flavorings outside of what's allowed in this bill, so the prohibited flavorings, the market share is between 5 and 10%, closer to the 5% more recently, just for a little background there.
So cigars and pipes are out under this amendment?
Yes, anything that would be is used for combustion is the intended purpose, and it's going to be smoked. Yes.
And you said that the amendment says menthol, mint, or wintergreen. So those would be exempt.
Yeah, so those would be the flavorings that are allowed. And there was some discussion on this where the mint and wintergreen make up the dominant share of the flavorings for the moist snuff.
Okay, Senator Steiner Hayward is here with a team. Did you want to come up?
May I request that my Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, State Senator from District 17. I have the privilege of being one of the co-chief sponsors of Senate Bill 415, which would, as Kyle so aptly described, and with the dash four amendment, prohibit flavoring tobacco not intended for consumption with anything, flavors other than tobacco, mint, menthol, or wintergreen. This is important because targeting tobacco that's flavored with chewing tobaccos, moist snuff, dissolvables, things like that, that are flavored with bubble gum or honey or chocolate or other candy flavors or cherry, are really targeted primarily at young audiences. And Isabel, whom you'll hear from in a moment, will really be able to attest to that in a more compelling way than I can. But really, it's not primarily adults who use bubble gum flavored chewing tobacco or dissolvables. It's not adults who use cherry flavors. Adults use, if they're using a flavor, they use menthol, mint, or wintergreen. And those are the predominant flavors used by adults in these various products. They're not the ones using candy-flavored products. And so one of the best ways to prevent people from becoming addicted to tobacco is to prevent them from using it early on in life. And when you don't have flavors that are attractive to young people, it's less interesting and less compelling for them to try these substances. Tobacco itself is not a very tasty product. Most people don't particularly like it the first time they try it. And if we can if it's disguised with a pleasant flavor or one that younger people tend to find pleasant, like bubblegum or cherry or chocolate, it's easy to see why that would make it a more compelling product and more likely that they would continue to use it. So the goal of Senate Bill 415 is not to prevent adults per se from using tobacco. That's their right, and that's okay. I don't love it. Obviously, as a physician, I'd prefer that nobody use tobacco, but I don't want to ban it. Prohibition, we've proven already in this country, doesn't work very well. And so instead, what we want to do is make it less likely that young people will pick up this addictive substance and use it, and just keep them from using it a little bit longer. You'll hear today from Dr. Paul Lewis with the Multnomah County Health Department, who can attest and show you samples of some of these things, about the importance of taking those steps like this to reduce underage use of tobacco and keep people from using it. The longer we keep people from trying tobacco, the less likely they are to become addicted. And that's really our entire goal with this bill. And so I understand that the reason it's before you is that it will have a revenue impact. I don't know if we have an actual revenue impact statement yet, but it's certainly going to be less with this more limited structure. Would I prefer to take some of these interesting flavors out of shisha and things like that? Yes. But to keep it clean and easy to enforce, I thought this was a good first step and a reasonable way to avoid it. I think you'll hear Isabel talk about why chewing tobacco and snus and all these dissolvables are much more attractive to teenagers even than cigarettes are, and why it's important that we take these steps. So if I may, Isabel, she'll introduce herself, but she's job shadowing me for the second time now, and it's a real pleasure to have her with me.
All right, so Mr. Chair and members of the board, I am a high school student at Churchill High School in Eugene. My name is Isabel Caldwell, and I am 18, but I have many friends that are juniors and sophomores and freshmen that are extremely attracted to flavored tobacco and Swishers, cigarillos. One of my dearest friends does chewing tobacco in packets, and she, her favorite flavor is raspberry, because it can leave a fruity smell, and she doesn't necessarily smell like tobacco. And she puts packets right under her lip, so it just looks like she went to the dentist and got a little bit of numbing in her face. So it's easy to hide from parents and other adults because she is underage. And lots of other people I know do Swishers, and that's what one of the biggest things at parties is flavored cigarillos, grape and strawberry and chocolate and raspberry are the most common flavors that I know. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Buckles.
No, I was going to ask the question, but she answered it. Chocolate, raspberry,
and the gorilla.
Grape.
Chewing cigarillos.
Mr. Chair, if we could figure out a way to ban those flavors in these Swishers without opening up a whole complicated definition issue about what's a cigar and what's a cigarette, and I would be thrilled to include them. We've struggled a little bit to try to figure out a way to do that without entering into the morass of high-end cigars and pipe tobacco. I'd love to figure out a way to deal with that because of exactly the reason that Isabel pointed out, and I thought testimony from a teenager hearing about what her friends are doing would be compelling to the committee in a way that all of us old folks who are just looking at this from a remove isn't. So thank you for allowing her to testify with me today.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Question. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Bartschiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I think the intent, I think we're on the same page, Senator Steinberg Hayward, that the intent is to try to keep these tobacco products out of kids' hands. I 150% agree with you. We don't even need to go into the health reasons. We all know what they are. But I'm afraid that this amendment won't do that. And the reason I'm afraid it won't is it says that in this state may distribute, sell, or allow to be sold a non-combustible tobacco product only if the product has a distinguishable taste or aroma of tobacco, menthol, mint, or wintergreen. All of those flavors, bubblegum, chocolate, all of them have a tobacco taste. All of them. They have a flavor taste too. But since that is a tobacco product, no matter what tobacco product it is, it has a tobacco taste. The others just kind of disguise it. I don't think this amendment will do it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bertrager, your point is well taken. My understanding from talking with legislative counsel is that this is identical to the language that's been used to prohibit additional flavorings in cigarettes, and that's why the language was structured this way. I'd be happy to go back to legislative counsel based on your concern and discuss this issue with them and come if they agree that this might be a concern to come back with a revised dash 5, because your point is well taken. I think that one could solve that problem probably by adding the language and no additional flavor beyond these four. And that would probably solve the problem, because your point is very well taken. And I will discuss that with legislative counsel. Thank you very much.
Okay. Further questions? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Isabel. Jen Baker, Paul Lewis, Morgan Cowley.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, Jen Baker on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association. I have previously provided testimony on this bill without the amendment, so I'll be very brief. Just as a reminder, the Oregon Nurses Association is a member of the Oregon Partners for Tobacco Prevention Coalition, and Oregon's nurses have expressed an interest in helping to work on tobacco prevention and cessation efforts, both in their practice working with patients as well as in their policy advocacy. And they see the prevention of selling flavored tobacco products aligns nicely with that work, as it curbs the appeal of youth, as you heard from both Senator Steiner Hayward and Isabel earlier this morning. And we think this is an important policy to help reduce the number of young folks who become addicted to nicotine and tobacco products. We certainly would like to see combustible tobacco included in this, but think that the Dash 4 amendment presented here today is a great first step in figuring out how the state can best prohibit the sale of flavored tobacco products.
Thank you. Morgan Cowling with the Executive Director of the Oregon Coalition of Local Health Officials, representing the 34 local health departments throughout Oregon. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 415 with the Dash A4 amendments that would ban the flavor and non-combustible tobacco products. Local health departments are charged with protecting the health of Oregonians and work to create local policies to protect the health of their community. One of the top goals of our tobacco prevention and education programs operating in our health departments is to stop youth from getting hooked on tobacco. Research conducted at Portland State University found that flavor chemicals used in popular candy and drink products, such as Lifesavers, Jolly Ranchers, and Kool-Aid, are the same chemicals used in sweet-flavored tobacco products. According to a CDC study, flavors can mask the natural harshness and taste of tobacco, making flavored tobacco products easier to use and may influence the establishment of lifelong tobacco use patterns among younger individuals. So this is a real concern for our local health officials. As has already been mentioned, flavored tobacco cigarettes other than menthol are banned by federal legislation, but other flavored tobaccos, including cigarillos, little cigars, and smokeless tobacco, which this amendment would impact, are still allowed to be sold. According to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, there are many harms that can come from smokeless or non-combustible tobacco products because they contain at least 28 cancer-causing chemicals and cause oral, pancreatic, and esophageal cancer. Senate Bill 415 would help prevent tobacco use initiation among Oregon youth and would be a step in the right direction. We agree with some of the other comments that we would like to see in future sessions to come back and address cigarillos and the small cigars that we know youth are starting to use at a higher rate, but we believe this is a good first step, and we urge the committee to schedule this for a work session and support this bill. Thank you.
Chair Haas and members of the committee, my name is Paul Lewis. I'm a pediatrician. I serve as the health officer for Multnomah County and the Tri-County Health Officer for Clackamas and Washington County as well. And thanks for the opportunity to testify in support of this bill with the A4 amendments. While we support the amendment, as others have said, we would really like to see it go further in the future to address all of these workarounds. There's a lot of creativity in this industry, and the creativity is all based on nicotine, which by itself doesn't have nearly the harms of tobacco, but it's one of the most addictive substances known, and there's more addiction to nicotine on the planet than to any other substance. We know that with youth, early initiation and things that make it more attractive are very dangerous, since about a third of kids who try tobacco go on to actually become smokers. We also know that quitting is very hard. If you look at all attempts, only about 1 in 20 is actually effective. Anyone who's lived with or known a smoker knows that people who have otherwise great fortitude in their lives really struggle with kicking the addiction, not to tobacco, but it's to the nicotine. The flavor thing is really profound, and as times have gone on, things have gone from just cigarettes and just menthol-flavored cigarettes to this, you know, spectacular variety of things that clearly have youth appeal, like the mango, pineapple, tropical blast, et cetera. And again, this isn't directly addressed in this particular amendment, but the 3 for 99 cents, this seems to me, I'm a bargain hunter, this seems like a pretty good deal. You add the colorful packaging and the flavoring on top of it. But of course, what this bill does address is all these other ways of basically packaging nicotine. And by this amendment, which limits it to a small number as opposed to having the whole spectrum of flavors out there, we think would be a useful way to limit addiction to the primary problem, which is to nicotine. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Boquist.
Follow up on Senator Bertschinger's question earlier. I'm assuming all three of you looked at the dash fours and specifically line 8. Which says taste of aroma or tobacco, and I'm assuming you're in line with Senator Steiner Hayward in which tightening up that language to reflect the intent as was stated by the chair and Senator Sarah Hayward. Is that correct?
Chair Haas, Senator Boquist, absolutely.
Okay, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
I'm really going to jump out on the diving board right now. In looking at 415 and the enforcement regulatory, so on and so forth, and unfortunately been involved in this discussion for far longer than I care to in the future, one thing that I did notice from all of the testimony, including previous testimony that I've read on 415 and 663, discussion of cities and counties, so on and so forth like that, and then many of you proponents have brought forward this conceptual idea that, and as have, I think, even the tobacco industry, that the vast majority of the sales, maybe upward of 80 or 90%, are actually in the metro area, a new word, metro, tri-county, three-county area. Has there ever been any discussion that you guys know of metro becoming a regulator in the tri-county area in terms of tobacco?
Metro, the 26 jurisdiction consortium?
Metro from Metro government.
I'm not aware of that.
I believe, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, covers the three largest counties in
and all the cities. Yeah.
And all the cities.
Well, not all the counties. Not all the three counties. Excuse me, but it carves out around the cities. The rural parts of those counties are not covered by metro.
But the population centers.
Population centers are correct.
So my question is that covers about 75% of the population of the state right there.
Yeah.
And probably upwards of 80 to 90% of the consumption of tobacco. I was just curious if anybody ever approached that concept.
Senator Haas, Senator Boquist, to my knowledge, there haven't been conversations with Metro.
Right. Thank you.
Interesting point.
If I may, Chair, at the local level, there are a number of efforts. You may be aware that the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners did recently make a new ordinance around electronic cigarettes and adding them to the smoke-free workplace. And they're committed to, again, the really upstream, trying to limit addiction to nicotine. If you think about, and I have preteens, a 15-year-old getting hooked on nicotine, that could be a half a century of daily use of nicotine. It's your brain really, really likes it. And I certainly don't want my kids to be saddled with that for decades and decades.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bertschinger.
Doctor, have you ever been a moist tobacco user?
I have not.
Okay. I was when I was a kid. Until I grew some brains around 23 years of age, you know. But
that happened.
Back then, we had none of these flavors, none. Okay, it was just the standard tobacco flavors of yesterday. No bubble gum, nothing. It was still extremely prevalent, especially if you played sports. Okay, so. I'm in 100% agree with you that we need to try to curtail the use of tobacco. It's just not good for you, period. Don't even need to go there. But I don't think this bill is going to do anything to do that. They're just going to go back. They're either going to buy it outside the state, figure out another way to get it, or they're just going to go back to the traditional flavors. If you look at the statistics, youth get the tobacco products from either family or friends. And they will continue to do that. The only way we're going to make a difference in tobacco use of adolescents is through education and trying to create some parenting skills out of some of these parents. Okay? This bill is not going to, I'm sorry, I just don't feel it's going to make a difference. You know, I wholeheartedly is behind you folks 100% what you're trying to accomplish. I just don't think this is going to do it. I think they're just going to go right back to using traditional tobacco products, you know? And I don't know how we're going to possibly enforce it. So I think that we should start focusing more as a legislature on how we're going to enforce and education. I think that's where we make a difference. But this bill, I'm sorry, I don't think it's going to do anything. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anyone want to respond to that? You don't have to.
Chair Haas, Senator Bertschinger, I think that we need a multi-pronged approach, and that we need all of the policies in place and all of the education in place to really make an impact on youth use of tobacco. So I don't think there's one silver bullet that will solve this problem, but I think we need to try all of the tactics that we can, and I think this would be a good first step in helping solve this problem.
Follow up, Senator Bertschinger.
And I understand your philosophy, but I worry about unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. It seems like as soon as we ban something or as soon as we do something, we create a black market. Okay? So we do that in Oregon. We're going to get somebody to go to another state, load up their Subaru, come back to Oregon, and peddle the stuff. Okay? Mm-hmm. And a great example of that is New York City here a few months ago, where we had a gentleman who died after the police had to restrain him. We all heard about that big case and everything. You know what that was over? Illegal cigarettes, black marketing. So we ban something, and then we create another problem because of what we've done. So we really need to think the issue all the way through and start weighing how's this going to play out on the streets? How's this really going to happen? And especially in the metro area where the population of Oregon is right on the Columbia River, it takes, you know, 30 minutes you're in Washington, and 30 minutes you're back, and you got your Subaru full of illegal tobacco products. We just created something else. So I personally Chair Haas. I would like to focus on education and really get that information out there and actually, you know, try to find some funding for it, because I really think that's the only thing that's, you know, I mean, that's why I quit. Because you're right, it's hard to quit, let me tell you, it's very hard. But I was smart at going, you know, this ain't going to be very good down the road, and I don't want to deal with that. So it was very tough, so I understand that part, but I'm sorry. I think this is not the right direction to put our energy.
Thank you, and I know you didn't mean to cast any aspersions on Subarus.
I guess I probably shouldn't have used that.
The electric cars?
Not smugglers, per se. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All for coming. Justin Rainey.
Good morning, Chair Haas, members of the committee. For the record, Justin Rainey. I'm here today on behalf of Reynolds American and also going to testify on behalf of 7-Eleven stores today. Reynolds and 7-Eleven are in opposition to Senate Bill 415. We believe this legislation as currently drafted would still have a significant impact on Oregon's budget. We oppose policies that would reduce funds to Oregon's tobacco use reduction account, which Senate Bill 415 would really do. The Dash 4 amendments make it a little better, but there will still be a revenue impact on the state. We believe that if the Dash 4 amendments were adopted for Reynolds American, we would not be impacted by the bill because we don't sell products that contain chewing tobacco that doesn't have or that has flavors outside of the traditional tobacco flavors, your mint, your wintergreen, and menthol. We believe that chewing tobacco, that the numbers, the usage numbers are declining right now, so we're not sure why this is the target of the flavor ban. We believe that the greatest need, if we're going to solve this problem, is education on the harms that are associated with chewing tobacco. Most start chewing or using the product because they see an older relative or a friend that have been doing it. We don't believe that flavors significantly influence the decision. In fact, many of the flavor bans or the flavors that manufacturers have produced have been discontinued. We believe that increased funding for enforcement of laws currently in place would be a more effective approach if you combine that with greater education and awareness. I want to talk a little bit about the opposition that we have from 7-Eleven, the 7-Eleven stores. We're strongly opposed to legislation that would ban the sale of a product that's legally allowed in 49 other states. We have concerns with taking a federally approved product and having that removed. 7-Eleven has a no-tolerance policy. When it comes to employees that sell tobacco products, if you sell tobacco to a minor, they're terminated, they're fired. I know the state has fines, but at 7-Eleven, you'd lose your job for that. For a franchisee, we have franchisees, when they sign their contract or enter into a contract with 7-Eleven stores, if they have two violations, they could lose that franchise. It's written into the contract, so it's a no-tolerance policy. In terms of how we handle that, we have electronic verification so that the clerk would first check and look at the ID of the individual to make sure that it was the individual in front of them, and then they would scan the ID to make sure that it was not a fake or false to verify that the individual purchasing the tobacco product was above the age of 18. So we take this policy very serious and feel we do a good job at the 7-Eleven stores. 7-Eleven stores, we do support increased retail training. We have very strong retail training programs that we currently use and feel work very effectively. We would also support stronger enforcement of existing laws, and then again would agree that education is really the primary thing. We need to teach people about the harms associated with tobacco. With that, I'll conclude my testimony.
Thank you. Any questions for Justin Rainey? Senator Bartsugger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rainey, I was looking at these bills today, and I noticed the A engrossed difference between that and the original one is it looks like flavored inhalant delivery system is out. That was in on the original bill, but it's out now. Do we know what happened there? Do you have any idea why that's out now?
Chair Haas, members of the committee, I don't have the exact reason why that's out. I can speak to Reynolds American and our product. The Reynolds, we manufacture an electronic cigarette Vuse. We don't use any flavors in that. We use essentially just a traditional flavor and a menthol flavor. But I don't know why exactly that portion of the bill was carved out.
Thank you.
That might be a question for Senator Steiner-Hayward. Senator Boquist?
We're not in work session. I can't make a motion.
No, I just, you were.
Oh, you're being polite.
Yes.
No, I don't own a Subaru.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think that clears our list of people who wanted to testify today. Is that right? Yes, come on up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Deanna Mack with Department of Revenue, and I just wanted to get on the record that Senate Bill 415, as it is engrossed or as amended with A4, would not authorize the Department of Revenue to seize this product that you've banned if we come across it in our inspections, and I think Kyle alluded to that at the last hearing in April. So if you do pass this bill, we would ask that you amend it to allow us to do that if we come across it during our routine inspections. We do several hundred a year. Approaching several thousand in a biennium. So if we do come across that, we would like the ability to seize it and maybe even impose penalty if that's the call you make. We currently do that for other tobacco products if the tax is unpaid.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question of the department. I apologize. I've been down testifying on a bill this morning. And the House members had a lot of questions about it, so it's taken me a while to get here. I just was just hoping before we move into work session on the bill, if we could have a brief synopsis of where we are. We've talked a few times on this bill, if we're working it today.
Yeah, we're not going to have a work session on it today. We're looking at the A4 amendments.
A4, thank you.
Exempts pipes, cigars, cigarillos, and shisha.
Okay. Thank you.
Not Subarus, right?
Subarus are not exempt. Okay. That's all we have on our agenda today. Stay tuned to Tobacco Road, and we will adjourn. Just a quick reminder that we will have a meeting on Monday at 8:30, and we have the Tax Credit Committee tomorrow. And we have some work sessions scheduled for Monday as well. So bring your thinking caps.
House bills, huh?
A lot of house bills coming through.
House bills, huh?
A lot of house bills coming through.